Reframing is a staple of psychological, emotional, and spiritual work. Why? Because reframing is when we identify the way we view a thought, an emotion, a belief, an event, an experience, or a situation, etc., and from there, we change the way we view that thing. A person's reality is really the relationship between themselves and the world. It's the way they view and the way that they relate to the world. If we change how we view and relate to the world, that changes our reality. Because of this, reframing quite literally changes our reality. I don't need to sell you on the merits of reframing. Why? Because every single one of you watching this has had a personal experience where something or someone changed the way they viewed a situation for the better. And as a result, your life experience improved. But as with everything, there is a shadow side to reframing. In this video, I'm going to show you this shadow side so you can prevent the potential damage that can be caused by reframing. Let's dive right in, shall we? 1. So many things that are good for us can be used as a coping mechanism. This is also the case with reframing. A coping mechanism is a specific procedure, process, or technique which manages stress or creates an adaptation to stress. A coping mechanism is the opposite of change. Rather than creating a change to ourselves or to our lives that makes it so that we are not under the weight of a specific stressor, we adapt to the stressor so that it can stay. We can stay in it and we can stay around it. Doing this puts us at risk for keeping ourselves stuck but feeling better about being stuck. The danger of reframing is the danger of immediately indulging in our reframing in order to make the situation that we're in okay, instead of actually making necessary positive changes to our life. To give you an example, let's look at Melanie. Melanie does not feel capable of leaving her miserable job. She feels she cannot face the idea of financial instability, so she takes to reframing to feel better about staying in the situation rather than rocking the boat. When she feels rage towards her coworkers and boss, she looks at a zodiac chart, which says that she needs to learn constructive ways of dealing with her anger. And she reframes the situation to this. You know, I think this job is really here to teach me how to stop relying on everything outside me to make me feel good. Because of this job, in fact, I'm going to master my own anger so that I can feel good no matter what situation I'm in and no matter what other people do and don't do. To give you another example, Zoe had a therapist who was real big on reframing. Zoe's therapist encouraged her for years to reframe the pain of the deep neglect and verbal and emotional abuse she was subjecting herself to with her primary partner. Zoe's therapist especially hated the idea of victim mentality. Her therapist would often say, "If you stopped thinking of yourself as a victim right now, who or what would you be instead?" For example, instead of complaining that her partner was stonewalling and withdrawing during conversations, her therapist encouraged her to see her partner as the person who was training her to learn the art of self-care, rather than dependence on others. When Zoe's partner started up a romantic fling with one of Zoe's other friends, her therapist said, "The fact that jealousy is coming up right now is a beautiful opportunity. You get to work through all of your insecurities. And this is an opportunity to actually test the strength of your friends. You could see your partner, in fact, as a welcome test to the strength of those relationships." What she was actually doing for years was encouraging Zoe to enable the abuse in her partnership while making herself responsible for 100% of the relationship. The real way to help Zoe with self-care was to encourage her to stand up for herself and say no to how terribly she was being treated. This is a big deal, you guys. Why? The result of Zoe's therapist teaching Zoe to reframe everything was that she stayed in a relationship that was actively destroying who she was, destroying her hope for the future, destroying her ambition to create the life she wanted for herself, and stripping her of complete energy. To learn more about this, you can watch my video titled How to Let Go of a Coping Mechanism. 2. Reframing can be a form of denial. Denial is refusing to accept or admit to the truth or the reality of something unpleasant, and denial is in fact a detrimental form of reframing. You might think that denial is a good tool. After all, if someone can ignore proof in a universe that is managed by the law of mirroring and focus on instead what they want to have be true, they're going to manifest it into reality instead, right? Wrong. Nope, denial is a state of avoidance, resistance, and suppression. It is a pushing against what is unwanted. It is a refusal to accept something. It is a war with what is, and resistance to a thing brings about an escalation of that thing. Denial does not work because unless you know where you actually are, you cannot know what you want to do and where you want to be, and you can't take the appropriate step between where you are and there. For the sake of understanding the difference between denial slash suppression and genuine improvement, I want you to imagine getting in an airplane and flying out across the ocean. Imagine that a low oil pressure warning comes on in the cockpit. Now imagine that instead of actually addressing it, you take a nice little piece of duct tape and put it over the light so you don't see it anymore. Hopefully you can see how incredibly dangerous that coping mechanism would be. Denial is also not just about denying that there is a problem. Sometimes people see quite clearly that there's a problem, but their denial-based reframing comes in the form of invalidation of the experience, dismissing it, minimizing the impact that it has on their lives, excusing it, or rationalizing it. To learn more about this, you can watch my video that is titled How to Call Bullshit on Denial. 3. Reframing can put you in an overlay. To understand overlays, I want you to imagine that a person is in a prison cell. They think that there is no way of getting out of that prison cell. They can't cope with the reality of the prison cell, so they begin to escape from it with their mind. They start to play a game of pretend, where the prison is a palace instead, where the person that brings them food every day is a servant. The walls are not the stone walls of a prison, they're the stone walls of a castle fortress. The mind has the capacity to play pretend to such a degree that every element of reality can be seen as a different element in our game of pretend. But this game is not really a game because your mental and emotional okayness totally depends on it. This pretend reality sits over actual reality, just like an overlay. When we are stuck in an overlay, we lose touch with reality and we start to feel the overlay is more real than the reality we don't want to admit to that is underneath it. An overlay is a very dangerous thing because it makes it so we do not even see reality in the first place. We could be headed towards a cliff, but because we're not looking at reality, we are looking at our overlay, we are convinced that it is a beautiful horizon line. An overlay is a form of detrimental reframing. Reframing with the use of an overlay can get you into serious trouble in any situation that you find yourself in. And it is especially a problem when it comes to relationships, because it prevents you from having a real relationship at all. To understand more about this, you can watch my video that is titled Overlay: What Prevents You from Having a Real Relationship. 4. Reframing can really, really hurt the people around you. If you are threatened by the reality of someone else, such as the situation they're going through, how they feel, maybe thoughts they're thinking, reframing can be a way to make yourself, or even potentially them, feel better about what is going on. But in doing so, you run the risk of failing to see their reality, and therefore failing to respond correctly. It can cause you to say and do the wrong things for them, as well as cause them to feel more alone in their pain, thereby making matters worse. Reframing can cause you to become stuck in your own reality about the other person, making it so that you and them are essentially in two different realities and acting according to two different realities. And believe me, that does not go well. When you are doing this, you're condemning them to being alone and in pain. So you can understand this, I'm going to give you an example. Let's look at Brianna. Brianna has a really bad relationship with her mother. Her mother spent her mothering years invalidating everything there was to invalidate about Brianna, competing with her, putting her down, and making excuses for an abusive stepfather that she brought onto the scene. Recently, Brianna's mother sent her a passive-aggressive meme. Don't we all love those? This meme said, "Forgive your parents for not being perfect. They did the best they could." Well, this threw off Brianna's entire day. Why? Because instead of actually changing the painful behaviors that Brianna has begged her mother to change, and instead of apologizing or making any attempt to make amends, she made Brianna's lack of forgiveness the problem. She put the pressure on Brianna rather than herself, and she insinuated that the real problem wasn't her. It was this unrealistic expectation that Brianna holds for her mother to be perfect. Brianna went to a coffee shop to talk to her friend Avery. Oh no. Avery is a very spiritual person. In fact, she just got back from a trip to Peru where she was doing San Pedro medicine with a shamanic tribe. Avery also comes from a very dysfunctional family, but in Peru, Avery went through an experience that involved forgiveness of her whole family. And ever since, Avery has been feeling really transcendent. Talking to Brianna about her mother feels really dense to her. She does not like the feeling of being pulled back into the feeling of family drama. She doesn't want Brianna to be stuck there either. So Avery offers thoughts that qualify as a reframe to Brianna. Avery tells her, "Your mother really doesn't know how to love. That's part of why she's down here in this life. I'm really sure that you came down here as her daughter because you are meant to teach her how to love. And the first step to teaching your mother how to love is to forgive. That's what you have to do whenever you feel like you're ready." To Avery, this is an empowering idea, but this reframe does nothing whatsoever for Brianna other than to make things way worse. Why? Because it further invalidates the pain she experienced with her mother. It's experienced as siding with the mother in favor of Brianna, yet again, taking all of the pressure and responsibility of the relationship by being the one who has to do all the work. And it further wounded Brianna because the reframe insinuates that indeed Brianna is the problem in the situation because her mother doesn't know any better. It excuses emotionally abusive behavior. This causes Brianna to feel even worse and to learn to never, and I mean never, tell Avery about the painful things going on in her life. Aside from this, Brianna feels like crap around Avery's air of spiritually transcendent superiority. Avery is committed to her drama-free reality, caused by her own spiritually reframed thoughts. Their friendship is damaged by the lack of attunement this reframing has caused. To understand more about this, you can watch two of my videos. The first titled, "The Most Dangerous Parallel Reality," and the second titled, "Attunement, the Key to a Good Relationship." 5. Reframing can be a form of toxic positivity. Toxic positivity rejects all difficult thoughts and emotions in favor of a cheerful, albeit falsely, positive facade. This is a recipe for future meltdown because guess what? You can't do this long term. You can't do this and act according to your actual personal truth. Therefore, you cannot do this and live an authentic life or create a life that actually works for you. Nor can you address your actual needs. The reality is, life isn't always positive. This good vibes only approach to life is a form of avoidance and suppression. Toxic positivity prevents you from seeing the full reality of any situation, person, place, or thing. It also damages every relationship in your life and prevents your own personal growth. 6. Reframing can be a form of bypassing. You guys have heard me talk about this one until the cows came home. Bypassing or whitewashing is the act of using thoughts to avoid facing or healing one's painful feelings, unresolved wounds, and unmet needs. It's a sidestep. It's a state of avoidance. Because it is a state of avoidance, bypassing enables us to stay in resistance, right? It enables us to avoid our feelings by detouring into the land of changing our ideas and beliefs, and bypassing operates under this incredibly false assumption that every trauma and every emotion can be fixed mentally and can be fixed by changing the thoughts you are thinking. And it's as simple as that. Sorry, the picture of healing is not that simple. Bypassing is especially prevalent in healing circles and spiritual circles. To learn more about this, you can watch my video that is titled "Spiritual Bypassing." 7. Reframing can be a form of gaslighting, and you can use it to gaslight yourself and/or to gaslight others. To gaslight someone is to sow seeds of doubt in their mind to make them question their own sense of personal truth and reality. Things like memory, judgment, perception, feelings, etc. It is to try to convince someone that what they see, they didn't see, what they hear, they didn't hear, what they feel, they have no reason to feel. Gaslighting can be consciously done. We could consider this conscious gaslighting, conscious in the sense that a person is aware they are doing it and is choosing to do it. But by far the most common type of gaslighting is unconscious, meaning that a person is not really aware of what they are doing and therefore are not doing it deliberately, but are doing it nonetheless. It is critical to practice profound compassion and radical acceptance for your own inner experiences, and then to work on seeing things from a different angle. Reframing can very easily be a tool for the negation of one's personal truth and reality. Questioning your perception is about questioning whether and where your perception is limited, not invalid. To understand more about this, you can watch my video titled Gaslighting: What is Gaslighting and How to Deal with It? 8. Reframing can cause you to oversimplify complex things and complex situations. In the same vein, it can really serve black and white, either or thinking. Many situations in life are not simple. They are full of nuance and contradictory truths. Reframing often seeks to eradicate cognitive dissonance and the discomfort of complexity, but by doing so, the actual truth of a situation is totally lost. Here's one of the realities I want to hit you with. It would take the length of a book to write a comprehensive list of all of the potential shadows of reframing. So, this is what I'm going to say about how to stay out of this trap. We need to first deeply experience our initial perspective. Another way of saying this is we need to deeply acknowledge, feel, see, hear, and understand the frame which we are currently or initially experiencing. The opposite of avoidance of what is. We do this with the awareness that we can never know whether we are perceiving the full truth. Our perspective may be limited in ways that do not benefit us, especially when we are triggered. There may be a different or more objective perspective that is more beneficial to us. We then need to ask ourselves why we want to reframe an experience. What is the intention? And we need to check in with ourselves regarding whether we are actually in alignment with the answer that we give to that question. Because the answer may just reveal that we are indeed using reframing as a coping mechanism or as an avoidance tactic. If we are in alignment, though, with the answer that we give to the motivation that we have for reframing, we can begin to consciously seek out different frames to view the situation through. We can begin to look for different perspectives. But when we do this with each reframe, we need to ask ourselves, how might this reframe benefit me / someone in my position? And how might this reframe not benefit me / someone in my position? This allows us to be aware of the potential shadows that we are at risk of falling into. The thoughts and perceptions that we operate with should be helpful. It is beneficial to change thoughts and perceptions into ones that are helpful. But you will find that over the course of your path of healing and expanding, there are plenty of helpful thoughts and perceptions that don't exactly feel good. Have a good week.